When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yes, indeed, it is the Shelter Footy Cast, live from the Backchat Studios. It's Skeets and the Sandover Medalist. Just seeing Will Schofield taking the two boys down the road.
Walking them to work. Walking them to school.
He looked like a beaten man just walking there.
Job.
When Alex is away, he just looks like he's out of his depth a bit when it comes to being Mr.
Probably
Mr.
still hasn't had a lot of sleep. We had the Southern River Band boys going off at the start there, and Scully and I were out on Friday night at the Charles Hotel and had an absolute ball terror of a night watching the boys. And he probably still hasn't had a lot of sleep yet, Scully.
On the chair at the Charles, good venue, and we know that the Southern River Band putting on a ripping performance. By the way, just a reminder, we're just doing one Shelter Footy Cast a week from here on through until the foreseeable Mondays, so make sure you join us for that. Socials at Shelter Footy Cast, footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au. You can get involved in that. The YouTube back chat, Shelter Footy Cast playlist is on board. And also, of course, we've got our Thirsty Camel Clanger of the week. Not sure we've got a... In fact, we might have a couple from the races. We're at the races on Saturday. Don't run out of your favourites. Grab your shoulders
at
Thirsty Camel. And, of course, welcome to our back chat listeners. Yes, you and I had the suits on Saturday. Yep. And we're just wandering into a very nice part of Ascot, the opening of the season there. And your partner, who's never been to the races
never been
before,
to the races
just decided
before, yep.
just to go straight to the top.
Well, I got the, luckily enough, after winning the Sandover medal, Joe Davies, who's on the board at East Perth and also on the board at Perth Racing, just texted me and said, Hammer, I've got an invitation for you and a plus one if you'd like to come to the opening day at Ascot, come to the director's lounge. And I'd been to the races a few times and my partner Emily had never been, and I replied, yep, we'll come along, no worries, RSVP. We rolled in, it's 35 degrees, stinking hot, just walk straight upstairs, get the wristbands on, in the nice aircon, Prosecco and beers on tap. How good's this? Oh, what do you mean? How do you place a bet? Oh, we're going to join the quaddy. We win that for $1,400 or whatever it was. So we just never been to the races before. Director's lounge, air conditions, perfect views, free drinks, winning money. How good's this? Oh, gambling's easy. Is it brilliant? We'll go back next week.
Yeah, no, it's so
meanwhile, well, Skeet on the other table was having an absolute horror of a day.
Oh, I'm losing
belted
by short half
heads. Post.
I did get out of jail a little bit because I went to Leonora to have a bet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In fact, the short price favourite, $1.90.
Well, there you go.
And got a result, Hammer. But you know what? I'll tell you what does soften the blow. As you say, when you're drinking the alcohol, shelters, of course, on tap. When you're drinking that and it's not costing anything, it does take away the pain.
And the food was fantastic and the view was beautiful. The room was perfect. Oh, we would have been there for 5 or 6 hours and had a great time. It was very, very well put on. So thank you to Joe and all the
Perth Racing. And if they ever want to invite us back.
Yeah, if they want to have us back. Backchat would love to go.
We'll be back. We'll do a show from there, maybe.
Shelter Footy Cast there. Shelter Racing Cast.
He paints himself as a man of the people. I can tell you now.
Oh yeah!
If he had the chance to go up there and just
sit in the director's lounge,
just sit there and just mind you, I was on a table that was just a little bit more elderly than you and I, than me. Then I went and joined the funky table
Andrew Embley. Table four was having a good time.
Yeah, Andrew Embley, who he might have got home. I'm not sure what time he did. He does tend to turn it on when he wants to.
Ember stormed home in the last, had a good win at the last, so got up the table for us.
Beautiful. Let's jump into our big moments of the round, and it's all about the trade week, and we've got a couple of days, or 2.5 days, obviously, before we knuckle down. Tyler Brockman has been traded to the Eagles. Hawthorn received picks 44 and 63. Jay Gresham moved to Essendon as a restricted free agent. Tom Fulton traded to Melbourne from the Lions, who get pick 47, essentially to help if Maxi Gawn goes down with injury. And the interesting one, which emerged at the weekend, Jack Gunston requesting a trade back to Hawthorn after only 1 year in Brisbane.
Bizarre. So I was at AFLW yesterday and was speaking to Mick about it, whose son Jackson is at he plays at Brisbane. He's overseas with the boys at the moment. And the news came out and they were like, what's going on? And apparently no one at Brisbane knew, the Brisbane management didn't know, no one at Hawthorn even knew, and he's just come out and said, I'd just like to go back, which is bizarre.
Yeah, well, someone said he was playing golf with a couple of his Hawthorn teammates and it sort of flourished from there. But two aspects to this. A, does Jack Gunston fit into what Hawthorn is doing in terms of I don't think the more I read of it, the more I think less chances is of happening, because it just simply goes away from what
Mitch is trying to do. I mean, they do this Hawthorn annual golf trip over in America, so he would have had a couple of shelters with the boys over there and got to talking about it. But yeah, you feel like the direction that they're going at the moment is they've got rid of a lot of their older players, they've traded where they can, and they've got youth into the team, and it's just allowed to flourish and do what you want. And you can see the path is working. Hawthorn are starting to play really good footy. John Newcomb's playing really well. Warple's allowed to do what he wants. Mitch Lewis is coming and now going to become a star. And do you throw a veteran in there that doesn't maybe have many more years to go? Look, you're probably lenient towards him because of he is a Hawthorn champion, but whether or not he fits the bill, maybe to come in and show a bit of leadership and provide some experience to these young guys, maybe. But I feel like they would have thought about that when they decided to trade him to Brisbane. So, I don't know. It'll be an interesting one to see whether it goes through. I mean, he's obviously friends with Mitch, so it might eventuate. But it's just a bizarre one to backflip in a year.
Absolutely. WA clubs, before we touch on some of those other moves and contract signings, the West Coast Eagles, Tyler Brockman comes across. Good young player, but I mean, he's a small forward, so it's never an easy gig. They've been relatively quiet, though. There was a bit of speculation Jack Darling's name was going to be thrown up. The Eagles have shut that down. So in terms of their senior players or trade value, and Jack's still got, I think, a bit of trade value just in terms of a team in the premiership window, but they seem to be of mind. I think they're concentrating very much on the draft. Is that what you're feeling with West Coast's approach?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, what they're going for. I feel like throughout the year, it's been a lot of fan calls for trade all the older players, get rid of this, do this, 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 this. They've had a few senior guys retire, and now it's pretty clear that they are focusing on the draft. A lot of talk around the number one pick. They've been staunch that they're going to hold on to that unless, you know, a big Godfather deal comes their way, which it very well might. But for the moment, they've traded in Matt Flynn and Tyler Brockman, and then, you know, they're going to, the Dev Robinson one fell through. But now it's looking towards the draft and trying to get what you can from that. That's probably the feel that I've got on it. They're pretty keen on this number one pick and what they can – if they get it, they get the best player in the draft, Harley Reid. And if they don't, they'll probably look to get three inside 20. So it's – you know, that's where I think their eyes are turned and they're headed. But it's – you know, it's been a lot of fan calls throughout the year for get rid of all these guys, and that's where I think the trade speculations has come from. But you're right. A few of these guys still do have trade currency, but it's – I think the draft is where they're headed.
Yeah, there's not too many, to be honest with you, that have those older players. Jack's probably got someone. We know Oscar Allen, but he's just one of the few untouchables at the footy club. So, yeah, Eagles interesting. And as we move on, the theory seems to be that – the Eagles, unless something dramatic happens, you said three inside the top 20.
That's probably what I mean.
It's going to be Harley Reid at West Coast. Is that your feel?
Yeah, that's my feel at the moment. I mean, if I'm North Melbourne, I'm not trading up for anything. What's the point? You've got 2, 3, 15, 17, and what, 19 or something? You've got just a mammoth draft hand. You've just got the best draft hand in, you know, the last, since Gold Coast and GWS came in. You've got everything needed to just pick 4 or 5 guns for this year, which I'm sure there would be, and you put that alongside Davies Uniacke, Wardlaw, Sheasel, Simpkin, Nick Larkey. You've got enough talent there in the young core group of players that it's going to take this footy club, that footy club forward.
Quickly.
Very quickly. And I wouldn't, like, you see what Sheasel has been able to do in his first year in the comp. Alistair Clarkson's a sensational coach, will be able to develop these guys into a style of football that's going to help and be able to be played by the young players that they've got in. I think they'd be stupid to change and draft up and trade 3 of them or 2 of them and an extra thing for pick 1. I mean, yes, Harley Reid is probably going to go 1 and will be a sensational footballer, but, you know, you look back over, if you get 300 games, well, this is fantasizing, you get 300 games in a Brownlow out of Harley Reid, or you get 250 games in a premiership out of draft pick 2 and 3, for North Melbourne, you're probably going to take the 2 of them. So it's, you know, I wouldn't be touching it if I were North. You've got an amazing turn of fate that's given you this draft hand, and you've got to use it.
Absolutely. And off the back of that, if North Melbourne can't translate that into playing finals, tell me how many seasons, obviously you can't come in as a draft in and be an automatic superstar. Well, there are very few do. How many years do you think for there to play finals is required for this to be deemed the talent they've got translated into finals? Is it 2 years from now Clarko's got to have them playing finals? Is it less? Is it more?
I think 2 years from now, if they can be really challenging for it. I don't think you can make an excuse for not making the finals in 2 years, but if you're 16th to 18th in 2 years, then that's a real flop. But I feel like if you can get in four or five talented young 18-year-olds now, in 2 years they'll be 20, the other kids will be 21 to 23, you're going to have that really good age demographic to have a throw at the stumps at a 7th or 8th and be a challenging, dynamic, exciting team that, you know, you've got your experience and you're probably not going to win a grand final because you need that older demographic to really be steady and play. But you'll have that team that can upset anyone on any given day and do anything, you know, no matter the weekend. So I think that's probably in 2 years' time, if they're in that position, if they're challenging, they'll be okay. And then in 3 years' time, I think they'll probably be in a position where you'd be saying, look, you guys have got to now make it.
Speaking of making it, Lachie Schultz to Collingwood will probably happen. So too, Liam Henry to St Kilda. Is the Lachie Schultz one, I think it's pick 19 or thereabouts, does that get it done in your mind? Or is that a bit unders for Freo?
I mean, it's probably... It might be unders for what he is playing, but it's probably not unders for how Freo valued him over the last few years. Yeah. He's been rookie, finally got a year, and he's maybe triggered one extra because of playing good footy. But at no point, if you had said to Freo 2 years ago that Lachie Schultz would be traded for a first rounder, they would have laughed at you. But the way that he has been able to play almost under the radar of his own football team to be able to go out and do what he's done, I think he's definitely worth that. But he's, probably... That's probably not what Freo would have pegged him for. So I think they'll take it. It's I think, you know, the deal, if deals like that often get done, yep. And I think they'll find a way to do it. But I think that's probably a little bit unders for what he is playing and the career that he's probably got lined up in front of him. But for what Fremantle have been valuing him as over the last few years, that's probably about right.
Some other movements. Premiership Bulldog Toby McLean delisted after 102 games. Had two ACLs, by the way, yep. 27 years of age. Tom Hawkins signs a one-year extension, which is good. Great for the footy club. He shouldn't have ever got to the stage where he was going to contemplate leaving, which he may not have, but that's a decent result. Now, I need you to help me with this one. North Melbourne has signed former Swan Toby Pink as a delisted free agent. I've never heard of him.
Toby Pink. I haven't heard of him either. Unless he's changed his name and it was someone else, I've never heard of him. How long has he been delisted for?
A Dower defendant named fullback in the SANFL Team of the Year. I have no idea, but Toby's got the chance.
So Toby, he's been out of the game for a couple of years.
Well, playing in the SANFL, which is under the radar from our perspective anyway.
Yeah, well, there you go. I hadn't heard of him, and I'm sure that, you know, they wouldn't have done that for no reason. So it's, you know. Good on you, Toby.
Yeah, Toby Pink off to North Melbourne as a delisted free agent. This is the Shelter Footy Cast, Skeet and the Sandover Medalist. We'll just run through some of those key trade dates. The free agency window has closed. Trade period ends Wednesday at 4:30 our time. Mm-hmm. The national draft, of course, on the 20th and 21st of November, and the rookie draft on the 22nd of November. Let's run through some of the remaining trades. They're up about 20 players hoping to get from one club to another. Shane McAdam, Adelaide to Melbourne.
Yep.
Elliot Hilmerberg from Adelaide to GWS. Jack Gunston, we've spoken about. Paddy Dow, interesting. Carlton was St Kilda. He was a high draft pick.
He went pick three. He went the pick after Andrew, and he's just been out of favour. He's come in and played a couple of pretty good games this year for Carlton, and he can't find a way into their midfield, which is, you know, fair enough. But I think he's certainly one that deserves another chance and could go. I think he'll go to St Kilda in the end. So it's and that'd be good for him. He's a very good fellow. He's a very good player, so deserves another crack.
Massimo D'Ambrosio from the Bombers to Hawthorn. I think he was a mid-season draftee, that from memory anyway. But yeah, so he's looking to get across to the Hawks. And Brandon Zirk Thatcher from the Bombers to Port. So Port being pretty active. So to the Bombers. Yep. Lachie Schultz, we've spoken about. Liam Henry. Asava Radaglia from Geelong to Port Adelaide. Now, this is really intriguing because Port Adelaide, defensively, that's where they were showing up badly in September. How important is it? And Geelong's getting a bit of a reputation during this period, trade period, of being hard asses when it comes to this.
Certainly is, and I think that'll play in their favour if Port Adelaide, who desperately need, I mean, Alir Alir is a star and they probably need someone else to help him out down there. And if Radaglia is the guy that they really want and Geelong are going to play hardball, they're probably going to have to pay overs for him, which is the way that they've been active. They're probably going to have picks. They're going to have something. They'll be able to offer something, but it's... they desperately need another key pillar down there. And if that's Radaglia, that's Radaglia. And if they like him, they're probably going to have to pay overs because Geelong will be happy to tick the feed in and play hardball.
Absolutely. And Scully really happy that someone like Radagalia getting 700,000 or thereabouts to go and play as a defender. Marbit Chol, Gold Coast to Hawthorne. So I reckon Dimmer doesn't rate him or something around those lines because he left Richmond. Marby's going to go to Hawthorn possibly. Elijah Hollands, Gold Coast to Carlton. Jacob Kaczynski from Hawthorn to Richmond. These are all pending, of course. Harrison Petty, Melbourne to Adelaide. So he's an interesting player because he played a bit forward, but he's essentially a defender.
Yep, went forward, went back, played a lot of pretty good football down back. Melbourne's back line is just tough to get a locked away spot, so go and find another opportunity.
Absolutely. That's where I guess they use him as a forward. Xavier Dersma, Port Adelaide to Essendon. I think he could be a pickup for the Bombers.
Yep, a reasonably good player. I think he's one that's, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to Port Adelaide because they just went very well and then you sort of forget about them and then all of a sudden they're in the finals. But a very good player that can do lots of good things, I think.
Orazio Fantasia, Port Adelaide to the Giants. The only thing I can say about Orazio is he just can't get his body right.
No, he's been like the best name in the comp by a mile and has been played good football in patches, but you just haven't seen enough of him. So if GWS can get him and get him right, he's a good player, but we'll see.
Absolutely, and we know there's question marks over Ivan Soldo at Richmond, Jack Billings, St Kilda, Nick Caulfield, potentially St Kilda to the Bulldogs, and Jordan Sweet, Bulldogs to Port Adelaide. So of those, there's still some work to be done off the back of that. Before we jump into one of the greatest cricket victories we've seen, I love seeing England get beaten, but before we do that, yesterday at Mineral Resources Park, AFLW action, went and called the West Coast Eagles. First time I've seen them. Look at you starting to tense up.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
Tense up.
Not our best game.
70 points, hot weather, good side Melbourne. West Coast not good.
No, West Coast not very good. I thought we started okay. The first 5 or 10 minutes that we brought the pressure and we were tackling, and Adelaide laid out the blueprint of how to beat them the week before. They had 83 tackles and pressured the ball the whole way along, and in the first half, we had 40 tackles and we were 15 points down. So we were, we'd stuck to a game plan, which was put a lot of pressure on the football, put a lot of pressure on the ball carrier, and make it hard for them. And we were able to transition the football okay and get it inside 50 and have, we scored 2 goals from our limited supply. And our defenders were pretty strong because we had enough pressure on the ball. And then in the third quarter, the pressure dropped right off and the floodgates opened up, and they're a very good side. And if you can't stick the pressure for 4 quarters against a team like that, they'll just open you up. And it went for, there was a 10-15 minute patch there where it was just bang, bang, repeats, goal. So ended up getting us done, and they're the premiership favourites for a reason.
Alyssa Bannon, she kicked 5 by my account.
Could have kicked
the game.
7 or 8.
Could have kicked 7, gave at least 1 away. Had cramp, I think, at the end when she was going to shoot for 6.
Yep.
She absolutely toweled up the Eagles. And as I've seen, only done 2 matches, but North Melbourne and also Melbourne against our WA sides, the height of some of their forwards and their ability to it just doesn't seem that either Fremantle or West Coast have got the weapons that 2 really good sides do.
So the 2 of those teams and Adelaide are the best 3 in the competition, in my opinion. North Melbourne have got 3 or 4 185-centimetre-plus tall forwards that are getting it done. Melbourne are the same. They had a few outs on the weekend, which probably helped us in the end. But they, Alyssa Bannon is one that is 177 centimetres, so not massive, but an awkward height,
and
would be almost the fastest player in the competition. So she's a hard one, because if you play tall on her, she beats you for speed. You play small on her, she beats you in the air, which was just the combination of all of those on the week yesterday for us. And she was able to get really good looks off the back of being a talented player. She got 2 goals out the back by coming up and hitting back and sprinting past everyone, and then she got a couple where she took some really good marks. So she's a good player. Melbourne are a very good side, and with I think they had 52 insides 50, so their tall forwards, or their forwards, are always going to have a good look when that's the case.
No question, the running premiers. Now we've got to ask you about your coach who's come out afterwards and spoken about the fixturing, which we know there's 10 rounds.
10 rounds, yep.
How many teams? 18 teams, 10 rounds, and the weighting of who plays who, he questioned with regards to Melbourne, the running premiers up against your team, the Eagles, who have been modest, to say the least, in recent times. So what is the thought process around the fixturing and how it's weighted?
Well, I think the thought process there is that Melbourne have been an inception team and have been very, very good for a long period of time. We're an expansion side who has come in and really struggled. And we haven't got the compensation of some of the other expansion sides who came in last year, for example. And we're still trying to find a way to get better. And we given that it's only 10 rounds, you can get, like, we don't play Brisbane this year, which is fair. We don't play North Melbourne, which I think is fair. We have to play some good teams. I understand that, but it's 10 rounds. But to miss out, for example, for us on playing Hawthorn, who are an expansion side from last year, and instead have to play Melbourne, who are the reigning premiers, and at the, you know, this point of the AFLW competition, there are certainly, we're certainly outclassed, and it was clear to see yesterday we're not at that level, and we're developing to be there, but we're not there yet. And for that to be, you know, a permanent fixture for us almost, we played them last year in the last round, lost by 75 points or 76 points, and 70 again this year. So it's that's where the frustration is. I think for me, I'm not too unhappy playing these teams. I think it's a good thing for our players to learn and understand how the best sides in the comp do it. And it's, you know, for mine is still playing, you want to play the best teams. You want to, you know, see how you compare and how you stack up. And if it's a, you know, if it's a 70-point belting, you go back and you say, okay, what did they do and what can we do to sort of, how can we take things out of that game? Understand for Mick that it's frustrating and disappointing that we're not, you know, we're having to play the best team in the comp. But yes, the fixturing could be a little bit different, but at the same time, it is what it is, and you have to make the most of it. And I think for us now, it's, you know, the game's done, and we've got to take as much as we can away from it. The first half was okay. What did we do in the second half that cost us, and how did they go about what they did? So that's where we'll get the learnings from. But I can see his frustration.
Absolutely, it was a tough day at the office for the Eagles. 70-point loss. So too for Freo, getting beaten by, well, yet up, should I say, getting beaten by Geelong by 4 goals at the Cattery. This is the Shelter Footycast. Ski down the Sandover medalist. All right, let's jump into some other sport, most notably at the World Cup. Let's talk cricket because England. If Australia is crap, which we are at the moment, we've got to beat Sri Lanka tonight to give ourselves any chance to at least stay alive. I was keeping an eye on this match on my phone last night, and Afghanistan started like a bomb with none for 100. They were dismissed, I think, for 284 or thereabouts.
Oh, what I'm looking at it here, 284.
And and then England get rolled. Rashid Khan does the number on them, so they're 1 from 3.
Yep, Rashid Khan 3 for 37. Oh my God, look at this! I hate England winning anything. Agreed. Everyone does.
Agreed.
And to see the Afghans rolling by 69 runs, 215 all out after 40 overs. Geez, it's good.
Because we're crap. We know we're not going to win the World Cup.
No, but unless we find something.
But
obviously,
if we're not there, I want us to take England with us.
Yep. If England win it, you just don't want, it's like you don't want to see them succeed if we're not. And it's, it was good.
It was good. As I said, England 1 from 3. Now, we're 0 from 2. We have played a couple of good sides, to be honest. India, obviously, going to be tough to beat. South Africa's in good form. They've done a number on us recently. But we're going into this match. Mitch Marsh and others have said, no change. We're just going to stick to the formula. And they can't really make too many changes. Sean Abbott's the only guy, I think, in the 15-man squad that hasn't had a game yet. Josh Inglis has replaced Alex Carey behind the stumps. I don't know whether we've got the right team, Hammer, for the World Cup in India.
No.
Spin-wise, Samp has been average.
Yeah, just looking at it at the moment, for mine, it's our inability to make runs. And if Mitch Marsh isn't making 100, which is, you know, that's a hard thing to do in a World Cup in India. And if he's not doing that, we're not scoring enough. And I don't think we're getting enough out of our top order. And it's really hurting our ability to put pressure on. And you know, our bowlers are trying, but it's, you know, it's trying conditions over there. And it just makes it tough. I don't think we do have the team in. And I mean, Sri Lanka, it'll be a hard one. But for mine, it's, you know, unless Marsh is going out and making 100, we're not putting enough pressure on the scoreboard, and our bowlers aren't able to do enough with the ball.
And Smith and Labuschagne, terrific Test cricketers.
Yes.
But probably not the acceleration early that they need. Dave Warner, everyone keeps saying he's been a World Cup star. Well, guess what? He's scoring at a pedestrian rate. So too, Mitch Marsh. Everything that could go wrong for us at the moment is Travis Head. Don't think he'll get back. If he does, it'll be too late because we'll have missed out on the semis. Anyway, this is not a tournament we're going to win. I think we've seen India knock over Pakistan pretty comfortably.
Yep.
They're deservedly the favourites. But if they don't get there, we'll be barracking for New Zealand, won't we?
Absolutely, I think. It'll be or Afghanistan. If Afghanistan can find a way, I'll jump on.
We'll jump on.
I'll jump on. But look, I think India will go in as the favourites, but they still, I think they, I don't know what they're paying. They'll
they'd be outright favourites. New Zealand probably, and you know, I've got to say, South Africa are playing
some pretty good cricket. Mm. But it's, yeah, I mean, I think it's India's tournament to lose over there as well. They play the conditions, they're very good side. But yeah, it's going to be hard for us to really, it's going to take a miracle for us to get there. And if we can't, I hope Afghanistan can.
Yeah, and New Zealand, I'll bear it for them because they were stitched up in 19 and
close enough to home.
As long as the Poms get rolled, because they're in the semi finals now at the World Cup of Rugby, having beaten Fiji. But not that rugby's, you know, front
South Africa would be maybe hoping that the cricket team could get up after they get Ireland got rolled by All Blacks.
Yes, by the All Blacks, so they could get the double. The New Zealanders, that'd be huge.
All Blacks and the Black Caps.
Absolutely. Look, we love beating our little brothers, but by the same token, if we can't do it, they may as well win it.
And I hope it's not the Poms.
Absolutely. From cricket to boxing. Now, I didn't see this. I nor did you, by the way.
Nor did I.
We were both at the footy. Tim Zhu has defended his WBA super welterweight title, beating Brian Mendoza by unanimous decision on the Gold Coast yesterday. Apparently, he belted the living suitcase out of him.
And didn't knock him out, just got the...
I don't think so, no. I don't think there was any such... But he's setting himself up, of course. They keep finding their way towards the next target. But Tim Zhu, he's a quality act, though.
He is. I haven't seen a whole lot of him. Scully's obviously been over and seen him, and I've watched enough of him to know that he's, you know, beating the living daylights out of people, and he's doing it very, very comfortably. But no, I haven't seen this fight and probably won't watch the replay now knowing that he wins. But, you know, well done, Tim.
Exactly. This is the Shelter Footy Cast. Sort of a question without notice here. The Thirsty Camel Clanger of the Week. Don't run out of your favourites. Grab your shelters at Thirsty Camel. You got, well, I'll just go to your game yesterday. I reckon there was about 400 in the second half.
Yeah, there was a handful of clangers. Oh, what was the Thirsty Camel? I think Amelia Jules probably the clanger of the week.
I was about to say that,
week,
yeah. We love her.
She's
getting some blood tests today, by the way.
Did she?
Well, she's getting some because obviously she was finished ninth in the two rack and wasn't herself. So the Cox plate's off the agenda. It's just a question now whether she's going to be okay to run in the Golden Eagle. But yeah, it was a bit of a clanger from a excitement point of view that she could continue her sort of great form, but not to be.
No, not to be. Got into the straight and just got chewed up and didn't really look, didn't look herself, didn't fire a shot. And everyone in the director's lounge took a deep sigh and was a bit disappointed, I think.
We moved on, didn't we? There's a few clangers in there. In fact, I'll take a clanger for my punting on Saturday.
Yeah.
Very poor at Ascot, very poor at Caulfield, very poor at Randwick. And Leonora got me out of jail, as you blokes win the quaddie in the best possible way. Other results, by the way, just looking around the competition, the Sheffield Shield's on, WA playing Tasmania, the Women's A-League started on the weekend and Perth Glory had a win there. The Wildcats went down twice, Sydney Kings got them yesterday and they were beaten by Melbourne United on Friday night. So Cats, I just don't reckon they're the same side.
Cats need to find something. It's been a shaky start.
Next time you go to a sporting event with your beautiful partner, Emily, you'll take her to the basketball and somehow you'll end up in a corporate suite.
Somehow we'll end up in a corporate suite and we'll put $10 on Bryce Cotton to have 40. And it'll win us $1,000. So it'll be good fun.
Absolutely. But the Wildcats back in fact, they're playing in Adelaide this Saturday against the 36ers, so we'll keep an eye on that. Time for some listener questions to wrap us up with Scully just trying to find his way back from the school. I don't think he would have done too many drop-offs in his life.
No, I don't think. I think he probably took the wrong turn. And the kids will miss first period if that's what they're up
for. I've never seen a bloke look more flat, just walking along aimlessly without his Alex here. He just looks like he's out of his depth.
I think
out of his comfort zone. Exactly. Here we go. This is from Swoozy.
Swoozy.
Is that Swoozy? Do we know this bloke?
That'll be Swoozy.
Hey boys, what are your thoughts on Jaden Hunt's debut season with the Eagles? Hammer.
I thought he was pretty good. Yeah. I thought he was reasonably good. He obviously filled a hole that we had with pace and explosion and acceleration and all the rest of it. And I think he was able to do that plenty of times. He was had some real dash off half back and gave us a lot of drive going forward. I think he came something like, I can't remember where he finished in the BNF. Maybe
top 10. Definitely
finished top 10 in the BNF, which, you know, I understand the Eagles had a poor season, but to move clubs and finish in the top 10 is a pretty good effort.
Okay, Jack Miles says, this guy, lads, can confirm Scully had a good time at the Charles Hotel on Friday night. Very disappointed didn't see any of Skeeter. Do better, mate. Ha ha. Well, I was actually hosting the 33rd National Police Footy Championships at the Novotel Hotel. All the states came together. Yep. By the way, shout out to the Quokkas and the Hogs, that's the Quokkas, the ladies team, and the Hogs, the boys. Both WA sides won their championship.
Well done.
So well done to them. And the Cops, they were absolutely, they're on the gas big nice. Time. They do know how to have a drink. So well done to all those who got along to that. So I didn't get to the Charles, but I believe as...
Manscoey, we put Hammer in good was, representation well, for the shoulder footy card.
It was almost like the Sandover medal. Two votes, W. Schofield, West Coast. Three votes, H. Brayshaw,
yeah, East Perth. We had a very good time there. Very good time.
Long John 21, g'day lads, love the potty, long time fan and just curious, what do you think the problem here is? Why do players keep wanting to leave or just getting traded? As you can see, I'm just reading this for the first time. why do players keep wanting to leave or just get traded? I suppose that's the beauty of modern day footy is that players have got more, more power in where they end up playing footy.
Yeah, it's look, I think the way that trades often work is you want to leave for either more money or opportunity. And in the modern game, I think there is money up for grabs. The CBA is expanding that player, teams need gaps filled, and if there's money in the salary cap and you can go and find an extra 100 or whatever it is that you wouldn't normally get. It's footy's a very well paying job, and it's tough to find that money elsewhere. So while you're in it, get it while the getting's good, and it's either that or more opportunity. So I think those are the two reasons, and you look at a lot of the guys. I look at a lot of the names that are getting traded this year, and I've sort of been taken aback. Like, how are you? What are you? Who are you to say I want to go and move, and I want to move? But that's probably because the opportunity that they've got at their own club isn't as good as it could be elsewhere, and they're happy to find another opportunity somewhere else. So that's probably why a lot of the trades are happening. And at the moment, it's there's a lot of movement, but it's I think in the interest of the players, and it's a good thing for the comp.
And to be fair, when it comes to the draft, you don't have that choice where you end up anywhere in the country. Mm. So as time goes on and as you have a bit more longevity, you get the opportunity to have more of a say in your future. Now, I talked about just reading a question without looking first. I'm going to throw one out there here. We need to find a shelter XPA X Factor, a performer or performance of the weekend that we can just maybe give a carton of shelter to. Is that right, Jaden? From a look at you, you've got the blank look in your eyes.
Okay, who would I give the...
Is there anybody that we can... Has WA done anything of any significance on the weekend to give us that little sparkle in our eyes to say, well done, you get the shelter XPA? Footy, Eagles, Dockers, both beaten.
Nope.
No cigar. WA Cricket's still playing a Shield match. Nothing in India that's... who's that? Cam Bancroft. I'll tell you what, I don't know if he drinks, but Min Woo Lee.
Oh, yeah, Min Woo Lee. Yeah,
there we
the
go.
Asian.
I've got it.
Yeah, there it is. Bang.
The cow open. I've just thought of it then.
Yeah, and from pillar to post, he just went whack, whack, whack. 62 on the first day or something, 64 on the next day. Just was going from bang, bang,
30
bang.
Under.
Yep, led the whole way. He's, there you go. There's your X Factor. XPA X Factor.
We workshopped that beautifully. So Min Woo Lee, not sure if he loves the shelters.
Oh, he would. Next time he's in town, I'll deliver him a carton.
Perfect. He's a gun, and so are you, Hammer. That is our Shelter Footycast for this Monday, of course. We're going to be back every Monday, not Thursdays. Email us at footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au. Shelter Footycast on Instagram, we're on socials. You name it. Search the back chat or Shelter Footycast playlist. Skeet and the Sandover medalist. Well done, young man.
Thank you very much. Well done.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.